America was founded on the premise that God is the source of our rights. Chiseled in stone at the Jefferson Memorial are these words from Founding Father Thomas Jefferson, quote, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God," end quote. Well, fast forward to today, and we see a major push among many American leaders in politics, in academia, in the media, in Hollywood, etc., against the Judeo-Christian framework, and instead pushing more of a, frankly, a communist perspective on life, including an anti-God philosophy. Dr. Shay Bradley Farrell is the author of a book called Last Warning to the West, Hungary's Triumph Over Communism and the Woke Agenda. She and I have had a recent conversation, and we'll link to that conversation, but now she's going to rejoin us to discuss something that she mentioned in the previous interview, just as an introductory point, and that is that there's at least 11 ways that the communists try to make serious inroads into this country and to deceive us to more of an anti-God or no-God type philosophy as opposed to that which the founders said, our rights come from the Creator. I'm Dr. Jerry Newcomb, and again, Dr. Shay Bradley Farrell joins us. Her book is beautiful. It's called Last Warning to the West. By the way, her website is counterpointinstitute.org. Dr. Shay, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks again for joining us.
Hey, Dr. Newcomb, it's really a privilege to be able to talk to you and your audience again. Thank you.
Sure. So go ahead and for those who may have missed the first one, but as I said, we'll link to it, but at least introduce the idea that in 1959, it was discovered that there was a nefarious plot by the communists to essentially introduce us to more of a godless worldview. Tell us about that, the 11-point strategy.
Yeah, and I have them in my book that you referred to, Last Warning to the West. They're called the 11 Points of Communist Psychological Warfare, and they were actually written by an international security expert, someone who was highly regarded at the time, Stephen Posseny, and they were published by our Department of Defense as a way to teach government employees who were combating Marxism and communism at the time how to teach them how to recognize this communist ideological warfare against people's minds. What really struck me about them, and you know, I discovered them while I was writing my book, because when I went to Hungary and these countries of Central Europe, they were saying to me that the rhetoric coming out of the United States reminded them of the days of their Soviet occupation. So doing the research that I did took me to these points, and every one of them can apply today to the United States. One that stands out for me really on a daily basis is the fact that the government will try to control media. You know, we have had the problem, I believe, that the Biden administration basically is in bed with the mainstream media all of the time and directs what they say and do and the twists and the narrative that they put on what is supposed to be objective news. But we also have a very serious problem about the Biden administration also suppressing social media. You know, there's been the litigation against the administration, Murphy versus Missouri, where the administration has been accused of really suppressing entire bodies of ideas of Americans through social media. And, you know, lo and behold, a lot of these ideas have surrounded the 2020 election, COVID, Hunter Biden's laptop, these kind of things. And what really it was and is a suppression of conservative Americans' ideas. So, you know, the Biden administration is in litigation against this. And actually, we just learned from another senator just a couple weeks ago that the same thing is happening, that the Biden administration is doing the same thing, or at least they have been accused of doing the same thing, suppressing social media platforms to suppress American voices. So, Jerry, that's just one example. We can talk about more.
Sure. And if you, I just want to follow up a little bit on this first point you're making. I remember reading, I believe it was the Media Research Center, where they said that a poll found that 17% of the voters in the 2020 election, if they had known that the Hunter laptop was really his and was not, you know, this was not some sort of planted story from Russian an example of Russian disinformation or something like that, as it was presented to be in the media, right, they might have changed how they voted. So this actually had consequences, you know, in terms of the election. And in the meantime, Elon Musk, he has received a lot of flack for changing Twitter, which he now calls X, but he sort of opened, you know, he kind of opened a lot of the wounds in a sense, and just showed, hey, this isn't right. And he's not necessarily Mr. Conservative, but at least he's in favor of free speech. And so comment about Elon Musk, if you would.
Well, I appreciate what he's done. You know, my personal opinion is there's still a good bit of oppression and suppression on Twitter, but I really appreciate that he does stand up for free speech and tries to do that. While you were talking, it reminded me, you know, in this Murthy versus Missouri case against the Biden administration, basically, is that, you know, they were accused of collaborating with all the big social media platforms. But during the oral argument, Justice Jackson, Ketanji Brown Jackson, actually said to one of the people that was bringing oral arguments, you know, gave him the question, you know, wouldn't the First Amendment actually hamstring the government in certain times, in certain crises? And what I found very ironic and strange about that is, yes, you know, she's a Supreme Court justice. She should know that the First Amendment was actually set up to so-called hamstring the government. See, Jerry, when you get down to it, that's what you and I have been talking about. There are two different worldviews on government. And if you look at it from, and I'm talking from a historical perspective, there was the Franco-Germanic philosophy of government and then the Anglo-American philosophy. And I'm not talking about ethnicities right now. I'm talking about the historical worldview. Because the Franco-Germanic, if you look at, you know, it was socialism, Nazism, fascism, communism, and it was a view of government that actually puts the people down below the government, where the people serve the government, not the other way around. And the Anglo-American, is what I meant to say, view on government is that the government is there to serve the people. What I'm concerned about is the Marxism that has crept into our country truly over the past 100 years, and you and I could trace that right now if you want to, but even our Supreme Court justice is looking at the law in that the First Amendment is not there to serve the people, it's there to serve the government. So, you know, when you really start breaking this down, it's, to use an unscientific word, it's really kind of creepy.
Wow. You know, that is scary. And it's very interesting to me when you think about how important free speech, true free speech is. So, for example, I couldn't help but think of in this conversation, Samuel Adams during the time of, you know, the whole push for American independence, nobody did more for that push than Samuel Adams of Massachusetts. One of the things he created were these committees of correspondence. In effect, it's like you can't trust the media from the day, you know, of the day. The British control the newspapers and the content of information. So we have to be able to communicate to those, you know, around the country and over and so forth. And they were able to call a Continental Congress. They were able to meet and then make their petitions known to the British. And then after a while, when these things were just being constantly ignored, they finally declared independence from Great Britain and at the same time dependence upon Almighty God. We call it the Declaration of Independence.
Amen. And that's interesting that you said that. So the British were also suppressing information and suppressing news to Americans is what you're saying, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, what is interesting about, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you.
Well, you know, we were just talking about that. This is one of the points of communist psychological warfare. It's used to control people, right? That went on back in the Soviet days. It's going on here, I believe, in America. But also, interestingly, and again, this is in my book, that is one of the steps of Sovietization. So when the Soviets moved into these satellite countries, into Hungary, into Poland, and et cetera, they had either four or five steps of Sovietization. I have to go through them. But one of them was to completely take over the media, the propaganda, and because that was such an important way to control people. If you tell them what they can read, if you tell them what they can hear and what they can see, then you have complete control over them, which takes me to this article I was reading today in the Washington Post. I don't normally do that, but a friend sent it and said I need to take a look at it. And in this article is talking about organizations around the country that were blamed for misinformation. So they were taken off Twitter platforms, Facebook. What was interesting to me is a study was done on this, but there was no definition of misinformation. So what I'm trying to say is, who gets to decide what misinformation or disinformation is? Evidently, you know, right now it's our government. But that's not the way that America was set up.
All right, we have just a few minutes remaining, believe it or not. So why don't you go ahead and at least highlight the other major points of the 11 steps of the communists.
Oh, wow, so many. another one is taking control or using a crisis to gain control. Man, did we see that around the world and here in America with vaccine mandates, and you got to wear your mask. And, you know, people in other countries, in Australia, for example, were being put in COVID camps. I mean, this is serious stuff. People lost their jobs. You know, people I know lost their jobs all over the United States because they would not take a vaccine into their body that their government was trying to force on them.
And you know what? They may be proven to be the right ones when it comes to their own biology. Seriously, I mean, their own health. Okay, you go on. You go on to the next one.
Okay, there are so many. One that's very interesting is to really just beat the will of your opponent down until they just don't have any kind of strength to go on. I see that happening with Trump. Quite honestly, I believe he's on these Soviet show trials of indictment and et cetera and et cetera. But man, you know, it's hard to find anymore that anybody who has been beat down further. But, you know, he keeps getting up and going on. But it is to drain the will to survive and the will to fight out of your opponent, which I find very interesting. And I feel like that's also very much directed towards conservatives who have been called domestic terrorists, who have been canceled. You know, I know people who have been canceled from livelihoods in big ways. I myself have been canceled in small ways, told that I couldn't be on certain platforms anymore or certain news outlets anymore because of my attachment to other conservatives, quite honestly. So that's another one of them. Anyway, I know you're running out
of
time.
Sure. How about another one? Go ahead. We have 40 seconds left. Go ahead. Another example.
Okay. Another example. Now I'm going off the top of my head. I forget what we said. We said propaganda. We said will to live. Well, if you trace back also looking at, now this isn't one of the psychological warfare points, but I would like to point this out to you.
Sure, go ahead. We have 20 seconds. Yeah,
it is part of Marxism. Back in the 1920s, Marxists in the Soviet Union were trumpeting abortion as health care. So that's not one of the points of psychological warfare, but that is a point of Marxism that is also relating to the U.S., which it actually is. Another point of psychological warfare, and that's changing the narrative, taking over the language. Abortion is actually health care. That's what you tell people till they believe it.
We're out of time. Let me go ahead and give the name of your book, Last Warning to the West, your website, counterpointinstitute.org. Dr. Shay Bradley Farrell, thanks again for all your time. Appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it.